Imagine actually loving everything you have in your closet. I'm getting a little closer to that experience the more I get from Honeylove. I've learned I can really rely on the comfort, fit, quality, and look of Honeylove no matter what. And it seems like they think of everything we might want but didn't know existed. The Legging 2.0, for example, has it all. Comfort, function, and style. Smooth, soft fabric, hidden shaping panels that make me feel extra supported and confident, sheer-proof fabric so I have no worries, side pockets for the convenience I need, a super cute look, and more. And I love that I can wear them out and about, around the house, or to work out. And Honeylove addresses all of the typical complaints about bras and shapewear, too. All of Honeylove's products make everything I wear feel better. So yes, Honeylove has you covered for the everyday look, workouts, weddings, and more. Go check it out. Treat yourself to the best bras, shapewear, leggings, and more on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/newsworthy. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/newsworthy. After your purchase, they ask you where you heard about them. So please support our show and tell them we sent you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it. Today is Friday, June 2nd. What you need to know about a big relief for the U.S. economy. Congress passed a debt limit deal just days before the government was set to default. And what other bill President Biden now plans to veto. Also, how Arizona is responding to years of drought and water overuse by cutting off housing development. Plus, who turned out for a high-profile royal wedding. Why there's a new warning about not keeping too much money in payment apps like Venmo. And who made this year's list of wealthiest women. Those stories and more news to know today, coming up. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. Default averted. The U.S. Senate approved the deal to raise the debt ceiling, sending it to President Biden's desk for his signature. The final vote came down 63-36, with support from both Democrats and Republicans. Most backers say they did have concerns about parts of it for various reasons, but they all said the need to raise the country's borrowing limit outweighed any of those concerns. The vote came just one day after the same bill overwhelmingly passed the House. Of course, this is the one that includes a new spending limit in exchange for increasing the debt limit for 2 years, which allows America to pay its bills. Though the bill cannot block future emergency spending, like if Ukraine needs more aid. Now, President Biden says he's looking forward to signing it, and he's going to address the nation about the compromise this evening. His speech is set for 7 p.m. Eastern. Even with news of one bipartisan compromise, another measure pretty much split Congress right down the middle. It ultimately passed, but President Biden now plans to veto it. The bill would overturn Biden's plan to cancel up to $20,000 in student loans for 43 million people. So this bill would reinstate student loan payments right away and retroactively add several months of interest. The bill narrowly passed both the House and the Senate, mostly along party lines, with all Republicans voting for it and most Democrats voting against it. Those who voted for it argue Biden's student loan program adds too much to the federal deficit and is unfair to people who already paid off their student debt or did not attend college. But President Biden plans to veto the bill, saying Americans deserve more breathing room as they recover from the pandemic. So this won't end the student loan forgiveness program, but its biggest test is still ahead. The program is on hold right now anyway because of ongoing lawsuits. The U.S. Supreme Court heard arguments in two of those cases earlier this year, and the court's decisions are expected to come out in the next few weeks. Arizona is taking a drastic step to make sure a water shortage does not get any worse. The state now says there's not enough groundwater for all of the housing construction that's already been approved in the Phoenix area. So it will stop developers from building some new subdivisions. And in some areas, no new permits will be issued for homes that rely on well water. The area gets more than half of its water supply from groundwater, so a shortage really does matter. Arizona's governor told people not to panic, though. She said Arizona is not going to be running dry anytime soon and explained that the state made this decision based on an analysis of groundwater levels over the next 100 years. Still, the state's water supply is being squeezed from both directions, disappearing groundwater and the shrinking Colorado River. Remember, the amount of water Arizona gets from the river has already been cut significantly. The New York Times says all this will likely put an end to the explosive development that's made the Phoenix area the fastest growing metro in the country. And homes could soon become more expensive there. Once again, the United Nations says Russia is restricting grain shipments from leaving Ukraine. This despite the fact that both Russia and Ukraine signed off on a grain export deal meant to ease global food shortages and prices. The issue is, Russia says it wants to be able to ship ammonia through a Ukrainian port city, too. And until that happens, one port is being blocked. And more than 1.5 million tons of agricultural products are just sitting there, waiting to be shipped to at least 10 countries. Meanwhile, inspections of Ukrainian ships are also being held up in Turkey, so food is stuck there, too. Now the United Nations is calling for pipelines to resume for both Ukrainian grain and Russian fertilizer. And it says it's working with both sides to come up with some solutions. Well, this week, the Middle East has been celebrating a lavish royal wedding that could build bridges between two countries with a pretty rocky history. The Crown Prince of Jordan married an architect from Saudi Arabia who's actually related to the Saudi Crown Prince. The wedding happened in Jordan's capital, where flocks of people came out to watch the ceremony broadcast live on large public screens. Jordanians have also been given a 2-day holiday with free public concerts and fireworks displays to celebrate the occasion. Saudi Arabia was involved in the courtship, too, as the couple was formally engaged in the Saudi capital. The wedding was attended by international royals and heads of state, like American First Lady Jill Biden and Britain's Prince William and Princess Kate. Both Jordan and Saudi Arabia are among America's strongest Middle Eastern allies, but there have been years of tensions between the two until recently. All right, we have much more news for you coming up, but first, this episode is sponsored by Athletic Greens. Their nutritional drink, AG1, has become part of my morning routine. I first gave AG1 a try because I was talking with Athletic Greens about partnering, and I wanted to make sure I actually liked it. Well, now I take AG1 every day before I eat anything else, and I was actually surprised at how quickly I started noticing a difference. It makes me feel ready to take on the day. I feel a boost in energy. I find myself not reaching for coffee or tea quite as often. If you're not familiar, AG1 can replace a lot of other supplements like a daily multivitamin, minerals, pre and probiotics for gut health, adaptogens, and a greens blend. And you get it all in just one scoop of powder. I always put it in ice water with a splash of lemon juice, mix, and I'm good to go. If you're looking for a simpler and cost-effective supplement routine, Athletic Greens is giving you a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. So go to athleticgreens.com/newsworthy. That's athleticgreens.com/newsworthy. Check it out. America's birth rate is still on the decline. The CDC put out new data this week that shows nearly 3.7 million babies were born last year. And overall, the birth rate was about 56 births per 1,000 women of childbearing age. That's a little bit of a drop from 2021, but hasn't changed much. In fact, the birth rate has been steadily going down ever since 2007. So the CDC says there are not enough babies being born for the population to maintain its current levels. And a chief economist at Nationwide told the Wall Street Journal there's going to be a real shortage of workers unless technology or immigration can fill the gap. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled against American unions this week. In an 8-1 decision, the justices made it easier for employers to sue over strikes. This goes back to 2017. A group of truck drivers went on strike in Washington state, leaving mixing trucks full of wet concrete. Well, the concrete company says it was forced to discard all of its product. And because of that, it sued the drivers' union. But courts seemed to disagree over this case. Some said the union could not be sued because a strike is protected under federal labor law. But the U.S. Supreme Court ended up ruling in favor of the concrete company, saying the drivers still could have taken reasonable precautions to protect their product. That said, the Supreme Court did not change labor law in a broader sense, so workers still have the right to walk out. And they can still time their strikes for maximum impact. There are still 27 cases left to be decided by the Supreme Court, as it enters what's usually the final month of the court term. A federal watchdog has a new warning about payment apps like Venmo, Cash App, or PayPal. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau says more Americans are starting to use them as substitutes for traditional banks or credit union accounts. But it says they really shouldn't. That's because the apps are not protected by the government the way traditional financial institutions are. So if the companies fail and the apps go away, or if they get hacked and money gets stolen, all the money stored there could be lost forever. And the CFPB says that could happen since the payment companies don't have as much oversight as traditional banks. So far, reps from apps like PayPal, Venmo, and Block have not commented, but a spokesperson for the Financial Technology Association told app customers not to worry, that the apps are safe and transparent. Meta unveiled its new virtual reality headset this week, just a few days before Apple is expected to announce a new competing headset. The Meta Quest 3 is apparently half as thick as the Quest 2, and it appears to have at least three cameras on the front that could improve experiences that blend VR with the real world. Meta also showed off some graphics improvements for gaming and listed several big VR game releases coming soon. Prices for the new headset start at $500, and it's supposed to be available to buy this fall. Apple is expected to debut a VR headset of its own at the company's developers conference next week. It will reportedly work with hundreds of thousands of iPad apps and cost at least $3,000. We'll see what this does for the industry overall, because researchers at the NPD Group told CNBC sales of VR headsets in the U.S. went down 2% last year. It's been a pretty big year for women entrepreneurs, executives, and entertainers. Forbes released its list of America's richest self-made women, and together they're worth a record $124 billion, up nearly 12% from a year ago. Number one on the list is roofing, building, and supply distributor Diane Hendricks. She's worth a record $15 billion. Some pretty big names are on there, too. Oprah Winfrey comes in at number 13 with $2.5 billion. Rihanna is number 20 with $1.4 billion, followed by Kim Kardashian, who has $1.2 billion. That's it for the main news today. So now it's time for Feel Good Friday, when we bring you one extra feel-good or positive news story before the weekend. But first, I want to let you know about our sponsor, Rothy's. There are several things I do on a regular basis to try and be a bit more sustainable in my everyday life, like drink out of only reusable bottles, bring bags to the grocery store, and be mindful of the food we buy to try and avoid wasting it. I also try and pay attention to where I buy my wardrobe. Rothy's makes it so easy because I know all of Rothy's shoes and bags are made with their signature thread, repurposed from single-use plastic bottles. Plus, because they're durable and machine washable, I can keep them in my closet longer. If you've been listening for a while, then you know I think Rothy's shoes are also very chic and very comfortable. I can throw them on for a fancy brunch or dinner, or just walk around the block or a quick errand. And no matter your specific style, Rothy's has dozens of options. So many vibrant, fun hues to choose from. Or just go with the classic colors of the bestsellers, like a go-to shoe, the flat. For stylish and sustainable shoes, shop Rothy's, and you can get $20 off your first purchase at rothys.com/newsworthy. That's R-O-T-H-Y-S, rothys.com/newsworthy. Now back to Feel Good Friday. A cafe in Berkeley, California is doing something unusual in the restaurant business, serving up meals for free. When Colin Duran bought the Homemade Cafe in 2011, he decided that anyone who came in and could not afford food would get a free breakfast, complete with eggs, potatoes, toast, and coffee. 12 years and thousands of free breakfasts later, his offer still stands. But now his customers are also chipping in to help keep the tradition going. Last fall, Duran says he was starting to struggle financially. He had drained his savings account to keep his employees paid during the pandemic, while at the same time, more people were having a hard time affording food, and he didn't want to have to cut them off. So his customers raised more than $30,000 for the restaurant on GoFundMe to keep the cafe afloat. And now paying customers have the option with each meal to add $5 to their bill to contribute. This year, Duran made the free meal program official by putting an Everybody Eats sign on the front door of the cafe. Since then, he started serving about 200 free meals a month, and his actual business has grown by 15%. Now Duran hopes other businesses will be inspired to do something similar, saying it's a great way to make the world a little better. Be sure to join us again tomorrow for our special edition Saturday episode. We are talking all about how to declutter your digital life without getting overwhelmed. Then join us again Monday for your next news roundup. For now, thank you so much for listening and have a great weekend.